Happy Friday, everyone. Today is January 1st, 2020, and welcome to the first episode of Today in Sports History. This is designed to be a short podcast that just fills you in on, as the title says, sports history. Well, without any further ado, let's get started. In 1902, the first Rose Bowl was held at Tournament Park in Pasadena, California, between Michigan and Stanford. Michigan won 49-0. We wouldn't see the next Rose Bowl until 1916, again held at Tournament Park in Pasadena, California, between Washington State and Brown. Washington State won 14-0. Now as we expand the number of bowls that are held in the United States, we moved to 1935, where the first Sugar Bowl and Orange Bowl were held. The Sugar Bowl was between Tulane and Temple. Tulane won 20-14, where the Sugar Bowl saw Bucknell beat Miami, Florida 26-0. And now to get away from college football, over to the NHL, where in 1943, the Chicago Blackhawks fielded the first trio of brothers to play together in an NHL game. Max, Doug, and Reggie Bentley all appeared for the Hawks in a 6-5 win over the New York Rangers at Chicago Stadium. In 1954, the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl were first telecast in color across the nation. In 1961, Briggs Stadium, home of baseball's Detroit Tigers, is officially renamed to Tiger Stadium. And now for a quick one for British soccer fans. On this day in 1965, 49-year-old former international soccer player Stanley Matthews becomes the only player to be awarded knighthood while still playing. In 1969, Jack Kent Cook, owner of NHL's LA Kings, fines each player $100 for not arguing with the referee. Wish you had more owners that spoke like that today. In 1979, John Y. Brown attends his first game as owner of the Boston Celtics after trading the Buffalo Braves to previous Celtics owner Irving H. Levin. Now to get a little more modern, in 2004, St. Louis head coach Joe Quenneville records his 300th NHL win with the Blues, a 5-2 victory over the Edmonton Oilers in St. Louis. Quenneville is the Blues coaching games and winning leader. Lastly, in 2014, the 100th Rose Bowl was played between number 4 Michigan State and number 5 Stanford. Michigan went on to win 24-20. And we'll be right back after this quick commercial for our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. If you've listened to our trailers, you know that we use this part of the show to take a look into a topic with a lot more depth, just as the name says. With this being the first of the year, if you've been following us on social media, then you may have figured out that our first topic is none other than the Rose Bowl. The first Tournament of Roses football game, which was the first postseason football game in the nation, was staged at Tournament Park on January 1st, 1902. The game matched West Coast Stanford against Midwest Michigan. The teams would later become members of today's Pac-12 and Big Ten conferences, respectively. Michigan routed Stanford 49-0, prompting the football contest to be immediately replaced the following year with Roman-style chariot races inspired by the literary classic Ben-Hur. Football was permanently reinstated as part of the tournament's tradition in 1916. The following year, the game went on as scheduled between Oregon and Pitt. However, the following 2 years during World War I, the game was held between two military teams. Both years, the United States Marine Corps was represented by the team from Mare Island. The team had a lot of success the first year in 1918 against the United States Army team from Camp Lewis, winning 19-7. However, they lost in 1919, the following year, to the United States Navy team from the Great Lakes, 17-0. The exclusive agreement of the Tournament of Roses Association and the Big Ten Conferences, as well as the Pac-12 Conference, was born in 1946, and the first game played under the agreement took place on January 1st, 1947. This pact is the oldest intercollegiate postseason bowl agreement between two major conferences in the United States. Since 2002, the Rose Bowl game has occasionally deviated from its traditional matchups in the national championship system. In 2002 and 2006, the 2001 and 2005 seasons, under the Bowl Championship Series (BCS) system, the Rose Bowl was designated as the championship game and hosted the top two teams determined by the BCS system. Beginning in 2015, the Rose Bowl has been part of the College Football Playoffs (CFP) as one of the New Year's Day 6 bowl games, the top 6 major bowl games in the national championship system, hosting one of the semifinal games every 3 years. During non-playoff years, the Rose Bowl reverts to its traditional Pac-12 and Big Ten matchups. This collegiate classic has been the occasion of many firsts. The Rose Bowl game was the first local radio broadcast of an East-West bowl game in 1926, the first transcontinental radio broadcast of a sporting event in 1927, the first local telecast of a college football game in 1948, the first national telecast of a college football game in 1952, the first coast-to-coast color telecast of a college football game in 1962, and the first football playoff semifinal in 2015. Not to be outdone, for those that are following college football this year, you know that this is the first time the Rose Bowl will not be played in Pasadena, California, due to COVID-19, at its traditional location at the Rose Bowl, but will be played in Arlington, Texas at the AT&T Stadium at the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Some of the teams that have the highest number of appearances at the Rose Bowl are none other than USC, as well as Michigan, Ohio State, and Stanford. Some of the most bizarre teams that you may not realize have appeared in the Rose Bowl are Brown, Penn, Florida State, Tulane, TCU, Washington and Jefferson, Georgia Tech, and Columbia University. We want to thank you for joining us in this first episode and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe to however you're listening to us and follow and like us on all social media at Sport History Pod. Again, at Sport History Pod on all major social media platforms. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics for the intro music, and thank you to Laura Robin for being the script editor and director of this first episode. And again, thank you to you for listening, and we hope to see you again.